quilting may be centuries old, but artist Leah Evans makes quilts that are far from traditional. Inspired by maps, aerial photography, satellite imagery, and microbial images, Evans creates textiles that explore the relationship between people and the environment.
Physical maps, like actual discarded maps from UW sometimes, and the few times that I fly, I've just sketched as much as I could looking out the window, and some of them are just completely made up and just kind of based on imagery stored up or just an idea of a type of landscape and just kind of go from there. I think most people like maps and loved looking at maps as a kid. I worked for the Park Service for a while and did some navigating in Lake Superior at Isle Royale National Park, so that kind of, I think, fed into it. But I was also studying textile design at KU, University of Kansas, and took a class on environmental history. I think I took the class thinking it was a natural history class, and so it wasn't quite what I expected, but just kind of opened my eyes to a lot of ways that land affects people and people affect land. And that really got me thinking of visual ways we represent land. There's so many steps that happen before I even start a piece, so I acquire fabric in a lot of different ways. I use a lot of secondhand fabric, sometimes clothing that I take apart, and then also upholstery fabrics, and I dye a lot of the fabrics and just kind of don't limit myself to any specific thing. So a lot of just working with the color initially and then cutting and sewing and embellishing with embroidery. And with the few pieces I've done based on Wisconsin, they kind of deal with agricultural issues. So I have one that's my interpretation of what cranberry bogs look like from above, and a lot that are just based on fields and kind of the shapes of boundaries. This piece is a newer one that is based on agricultural land around a river, so shows piece strips of fabric kind of coming off of the river, like rays. There's a French word, arpent, for that type of land division, where everybody gets a narrow strip coming off of the river, so you get the bottom land, the more fertile land, and then access to the river as well. I've been doing a lot of pieces based on the Mississippi. I like spending time on lakes and in lakes, but rivers kind of have more of a character and more movement and more of a story for me. I think the agricultural imagery, like dry farming and then the pivot irrigation, interests me. And I like the Midwest. I think it will always be my home. And I think the quilting kind of fits into my idea of the aesthetic of the Midwest.
Leah Evans is a textile artist based in Madison. Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. It's a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and Wisconsin Public Television. For more info, visit wisconsinlife.org. Well, let's learn more about modern quilting. We have Wendy Franzak with us. She's former president of the Madison Modern Quilt Guild. She's here in the studio. Wendy, thanks so much for joining us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
So what's the difference between a traditional and a modern quilt style?
Well, typically a modern quilt is inspired by modern design, so you would see it in a more contemporary home where a Civil War quilt may not fit in quite as nicely. You'll see, in some cases, a lot of negative space, maybe bold colors, a little bit more use of solid fabric versus prints, and there might be some improvisational piecing where things aren't quite as straight. We call it wonky. So,
is that a technical term?
I think it's a technical term. So things aren't quite as precise looking, but they still take a lot of time and love to create.
Now, when did this kind of modern quilting come into existence?
Well, modern quilting has really been around through most of the 20th century. Like, for example, G's Ben's quilts, I would call that modern quilting. But it really exploded when Martha Stewart had Denise Schmidt on her show in the late 90s, and she came out with an excellent book, Denise Schmidt Quilts, in 2005, and Weeks, Ringel, and Bill Kerr came out with an excellent book called Quilter Studio in that same time, and it really exploded in blogs and Flickr especially, and it really took off from there.
And is there really a super hard and fast distinctions? One person is a traditional quilter, one's a modern, or do some people play back and forth and maybe even mix styles?
Yeah, it really varies a lot from quilter to quilter. I think a lot of my personal work is more like fresh traditional, where it may be considered modern because of the colors being used, but I might use a lot of traditional blocks. But yeah, everyone has their own unique voice when it comes to quilting, just like modern art.
Well, quilting is really interesting because in some ways it's a solo gig, mm-hmm. and in some ways there's this community of quilting. What's our quilting community like here in the state?
Yeah, we're really lucky. We have a really strong quilting community, especially in Madison. We have both the Madison Modern Quilt Guild, which I'm a member of, and the Mad City Quilt Guild. And we get together and sew, we get together and show our work and get inspiration from each other. We also have Quilt Expo in September, which is
huge.
It's the Lollapalooza of quilting, where thousands of people come from all over the world to see quilting, buy quilts, and show their quilts.
And then I see quilting at county fairs, at state fair. Do we see modern quilts in those kind of settings?
Yeah, we're starting to creep into those areas. There's about 35% of the quilting market right now is modern, and we're starting to see even more than that in our local quilt shows.
Now, you mentioned Flickr, and the first reaction might be quilting and social media, traditional, modern, but has social media changed the world of quilting?
Yeah, it absolutely has. The Flickr group, Fresh Modern Quilts, really expanded modern quilting exponentially. That's where people could get together and see each other's work, and it's exploded from there. Instagram in particular is really huge. That's my favorite place to get inspiration. Facebook, blogs, yeah, social media is definitely influential in the spread of it.
So how does it, do you put, as you're working on something, maybe works in progress and post them up on social media?
Unfortunately for my friends and family, constantly. Yeah, on Instagram and
another
Facebook.
Quilt.
Yeah, another cat or quilt on Wendy's Instagram. Thanks.
Cats and quilts.
Yes, cats and quilts.
But is the cat a challenge? I mean, because I could see a cat really doing a lot of damage.
No. They're your favorite buddy in the quilt shop.
Okay.
Or in the quilt room.
With a resurgence in handmade artisan items, right? People like buying local and handmade things. Is there a bigger audience to maybe you want to buy a handmade modern quilt?
Yeah, absolutely. There's a lot of local quilters that sell. My friend Nikki Ross sells her quilts on Etsy. Absolutely. I have nothing more to say.
And what kind of things inspire your patterns, your designs? We heard in that Wisconsin Life piece of being inspired by looking down on Wisconsin's landscape. What, mm-hmm. Where do you look?
Yeah, that was really interesting. I've seen a quilt about the Great Lakes, too, which I found very inspiring. I like to look to some of the great quilters like Jackie Gehring or Weeks Ringel for inspiration. Just improvisational piecing where you're kind of making your own fabric as you go along, I find very inspiring. Maybe modern art in some cases, and just looking at the quilting community in general for inspiration.
No, when I think of quilting, I think of, you know, some math in there, and you got to come in with a plan and know what's going to fit where. And you're saying improvisational. How does that work?
Yeah, that's kind of, some people are into it, some people are not, but for the math part, I'm not always the best at. So with improvisational piecing, you don't have to cut quite as precisely or even sew as precisely in some cases. I'll definitely get some flack for saying that. But for me, it's more freeform sewing.
But you still end up with a rectangle. You're not, because I would end up with like little triangles poking out all over the place.
Well,
three-dimensional weirdness.
Yeah, three-dimensional weirdness, exactly. That's where rulers and rotary cutters come into place. You can square things up with that at the end.
And another thing I think of with the internet is it's got to open you up to having a lot more resources in terms of your fabric selection. Mm-hmm. Even either you're going out and ordering yourself or your local quilt shop has access to more fabrics, maybe from around the world. Is this true?
Yeah, actually, I just purchased some fabric from England this week. But we do have a lot of really awesome local quilt shops like Stitcher's Crossing or Millhouse. But there's a lot of online resources where you can buy quilt fabric from Japan or any of your friends on Instagram. Even you can buy fabric.
What got you into quilting?
I really needed a need to create. I was working about 50 hours or so a week, and I really just needed something to do that wasn't a responsibility involving my family or my work life. So I just searched around for a quilt shop that had a class that met my needs, and I found one.
What's the easiest way? Say somebody's thinking, yeah, I'd be into this. I don't want to put a lot of money into it up front in case it's my thing, not my thing. What's a good entry-level way to get to taste quilting?
Yeah, it can be definitely expensive to get started. I would recommend either a class through your local quilt shop where you can borrow supplies, or Madison College even offers sewing machines that you can use during their quilting classes.
Seems like just finding a friend who quilts and being their co-pilot for a little bit. And do people do that? Do you kind of apprentice and watch how it's done and then figure out how to do it?
Yeah, absolutely. And people come to the Madison Modern Quilt Guild to learn, too. And they can do that at our sew days.
Now, you mentioned a couple famous quilters when you go to the ginormous quilt expo here. Do you get to meet some of these legends in the field?
Yes. Well, Nancy Zeman does quilt expo here, so we're really lucky for that. But yeah, that's one of the most exciting parts, to meet the quilt rock stars, like we call them.
Okay. I got to know what you're working on. How many projects do you have in progress right now?
At least six.
Six?
Yes.
Okay.
I have 10 completed, six in progress.
And what's your favorite one? What's the most fun one that you wish you weren't talking to me so you could be working on it right now?
Yes. I will leave the studio and work on a modern quilt inspired by Jackie Gehring. It's improv, gray and white. I hope to have it in the Sun Prairie Quilt Show.
Okay, gray and white, improv, what kind of patterns will we look like when we see it?
Think squares with white sticks in it. Doesn't sound too amazing over radio.
Well, send us a picture.
I will. Thank you.
Well, Wendy, thank you so much for joining us. It's been a lot of fun.
All right, thank you so much.
That was Wendy Franzak. She's former president of the Madison Modern Quilt Guild.